up, bro? How you doing today, man?
Doing well, man. How goes life?
It's nice, dude. It's nice. Just taking it easy. The weather's nice. 70 degrees today. Nice and cool. Good stuff.
Man, nice weather is always amazing out. I prefer when it's warm out, even though I sweat like a dog. I know there's a lot of you guys that are like me. When I start sweating, though, guys, I just want to make sure we're clear on this, all right? I've got big tits, but when I start sweating, it highlights my big tits, and it gets me a little bit embarrassed sometimes. But today I was cleaning the car and, you know, cleaning up around the house, and I just started sweating like nobody's business. And I was just like, looked down and I looked at my tits, and I was like, this is embarrassing. I need to go put a different shirt on. So anyways, I got a clean shirt on, sort of, and I'm good to go.
There you go. Dude, I should clean the car, but, you know, whatever, dude. Whatever.
Dude, I got to say, man, all right, I've tried to clean my wheels so many times from the grease, you know?
Yeah.
And the buildup there, nothing has worked. So I went out and got those magic erasers, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I got that spray. What do you call it? It's the spray soap, but it has like foaming stuff in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just went around, sprayed all of it, and then it foamed up and then it started melting off. And then I was like, because I couldn't get any of that stuff off. I spent like 2 hours the other day trying to get it all off.
Yeah.
So I went around and sprayed it, did it like 3 times around, and then I just walked up with a rag and just wiped it right off. I was like, that was the easiest way of getting off the tire shit I've ever had. I mean, I've even tried tire cleaner and it wasn't. Our wheel cleaner wasn't that easy. It was amazing.
That's why people come here, dude. You come for the thunder and you stay for the car tips. That's right. All right, dude. I got to do it. But all right, so we did something amazing last night, dude. We somehow held Sabonis under a double-double. I'm not exactly sure how, because this guy is somebody who's done it every game pretty much the season, right? Or 64 straight games or something like that. And he
61, yeah.
Had a chance to break Moses Malone's record, or at least, you know, flirt with, you know, so one of those top records. And I don't know. Chet is awesome. He gets far too little credit for his defense. A lot of it is positional team defense, but, you know, you can see it stand out in an environment like this, especially when you just look at how we played last year against a team like the Kings and a player like Sabonis. We really had no answer for him. And here we are, you know, really incredible.
Yeah, to me, it's encouraging because I think of Sabonis as being a top three power forward in the league at this point of his career. You know, I look at guys like AD that I feel like Sabonis is kind of better than them right now. I know that a lot of people be like, ooh, you're saying Sabonis is better than AD. I'm just saying in general, the way he's playing this year is just phenomenal. 61 straight double doubles. The guy is out of his mind. But what Chet did to him last night, like, put things in perspective, because it's not like Chet held somebody to 8 points and 13 rebounds in 20 minutes of play. Chet manned up with him for 34 minutes, essentially. Yes, there was switches. Yes, there was, you know, Jay Will coming in or whatever. But for 34 minutes, Chet, I feel like, played him, right? It was insane, man. Like, I've never seen somebody take it that's so young, take it on their chin as a rookie to shut somebody down like this. It was a phenomenal job by Chet. Yes, it was an all-around defensive scheme, but there were so many times that Sabonis got down to his block, which when he gets to his block, nobody can stop him. He's so fast. He goes to his move so quickly, whether he gets an assist or whatever. Like, he was just shut down by Chet night or time and time again. It was just incredible. Like, he even got offensive boards that he was like really good position wise, and he wasn't able to score on him. I think he had like 5 or 6 offensive boards and he wasn't able to capitalize on him, bro, because Chet shut that shit out.
There was 8 offensive boards where Chet erased a layup Sabonis had, and it not went off of Sabonis, and it really affected the way Sabonis attacked the basket for the rest of the game. These are the types of things that mean a lot.
So
and
true.
You look at like team defense, and you look at like, yeah, Chet can be excellent individually, but he can also make sure that we stay home and that, you know, we're protecting the rim. And it's really, really impressive. Those last few minutes of the game, there was no buckets for the Kings. And that was really nice to see our defense tighten up and just really give us that win. I mean, we're down by like 19 at halftime, 20 at one point in the game. Like, this was classic for us, but it's also it's the second best comeback we've had all season. So while it is like what we do all the time, we haven't been needing it that much, you know, anymore.
Dude, you highlighted it, bro. You said it. You said that we shut them down for the last couple of minutes, but it was 2 minutes and 38 seconds that they didn't have a bucket. Just let that sit in your mind there for a minute, man. The Kings, which are a 45-win team at this moment, which I, by all means, last year they were a top team in the West. So, like, what are we talking here? They just held a Kings team, who is a very good team, to 0 points in 2 minutes and 36 seconds. All right? Shea, shut down the shit, bro. Like, I have not seen in a long time. 40 points, bro. 2 blocks, 2 steals, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds, man. He was just everywhere. There's just nobody has answers for Shea right now. And he's healthy now. I feel like he's healthy because when he left, he was struggling. But last night, he was just flexing. And that was just something that was nice to see. He shot 20 free throws, folks. 20.
Yeah. You could tell he was a bit winded in the first half. So, you know, that was definitely a factor that coach anticipated, pulled him out really early in the first quarter and gave an opportunity to catch his wind. But yeah, like, you're right. Overall, he seemed physically healthy and he'll play himself back into shape pretty quickly. I'm always blown away by how these elite athletes can take 1, 2, maybe even 3 games off, and they go from being like never, you know, out of wind to losing their wind so quickly. Like, the pace of the game, there's no way to prepare for it in practice. And so, you know, once you get into game shape,
you're right,
and you're ready to go, and you still got to like check it. And it's crazy because it's only a few days off, but still it greatly affects these players. So I'm impressed with our coaching staff anticipating that, which, you know, we do this stuff all the time, but it's still like, it's still impressive to see like the little details of, you know, player health and development, all that stuff that we're taking care of. What else did we see, man? We saw some great J-Dub moments. I mean, he was back. We saw, you know, Giddy with that pass to Wiggins, an inbounds pass, that, you know, classic stuff that we need to see as we get going into the playoffs. This team is starting to round into shape, it's looking good.
Really quickly, feed off of your Giddy. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Now, I want everybody to understand this real fast right here. He had 5 fouls last night. He was forced to play up against Harrison Barnes type matchup. 21 minutes for Giddy, I'm not upset about, because we've been leaning on him so heavily the last 5 games without Shea, or 4 games without Shea, whatever it's been. So we've been leaning on Josh a lot. I love the fact that coach brought his minutes down. I don't think it was due to his play. Yes, he was 0 for 4 in threes, but I don't think that was the reason that coach took him out of the game, because I feel like coach is just getting him his rest. And this is going to happen to Chet. I wouldn't be surprised if there's games that Chet only plays like 20 minutes or 22 minutes, or, you know, Dort the same way. We're trying to get these guys rest in the best way possible, and we only have a few games left. So was it 2 games left? 3 games left? Spurs, yeah. Bucks, Mavs.
Spurs tonight, bro. Spurs tonight.
Yes, dude. I am looking forward to that for sure.
So we're good now. Where's our positioning exactly? I'm thinking we're still sitting in third. And I also think we can't finish lower than third now. Is that correct? We're going to look it up together.
I mean, like, the Clippers is they're 3 games behind us. So even if we went 0-3 and the Clippers went 3-0, we would tie, which we have the tiebreaker between it for the Clippers. So we're good.
All right.
You want to hear something?
Let's do it.
All right. Fascinating fact. The Milwaukee Bucks are currently in second place in the East at 48-31, right?
Right.
If they were in the West, they would be fighting for the sixth seed right now.
Yeah.
Let me just like say that again, because the reality is you got Milwaukee, New York, Orlando, Cleveland, and Indiana. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Have we ever seen a weaker conference than that? And I want to also add that to this too. Have we ever seen a stronger conference than the Northwest Conference, which is currently sitting at 55 and 24 for Milwaukee, 55 and 24 for Denver, and 54 and 25 for Oklahoma City?
You said Milwaukee.
That's
you meant
just
Minnesota,
the Northwest Division.
You meant Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota, and they're in first. Denver's in second. We're in third, right? That is an insane conference right there, bro. I've never seen something like this before. 1, 2, 3. I mean,
those division records, too. Like, you're talking about the Timberwolves are 12-3, the Thunder are 12-4, and the Nuggets are 9-6. So they're just beating the shit out of all the bad teams right now. It's cute.
I know.
It's cute.
It's great to see, bro. And then you got the Pacific Division. They got the Clippers, Phoenix, Sacramento, LA, and Golden State. All are making the playoffs, bro. It's kind of wild, bro.
We're at that phase
where this is a crazy season.
Yeah, everybody's just looking at it and they're saying, okay, when the playoffs get started, that's when we'll know what's up. That's when we'll really get an idea of what's going on. Feel like that at this point we're trying to hang on to the third seed? We're not really trying to advance at all. Like, we don't want to be one or two. Is that how you still feel?
I mean, listen, it's all about what coaches trying to do.
Let me ask you this right here. Let me ask you this. So would you rather play the number two seed, be the number two where you're playing right now, either the Kings or the Suns, right? Or the one seed where you could find yourself playing either the Warriors, Lakers, or one of those two other teams I mentioned. I would rather find myself in the two seed than the one seed. I feel like the one seed's a trap, like your finger the other day, bro. Like, watch out for that one seed.
First of all, before I answer this, I want to ask our chat, because our chat has been, or comments Poppin'. Have been on fire recently. I want to know, like, what you guys feel about this, because I struggle with this on a daily basis. Of I'm like, ooh, I want to play Phoenix. Ooh, I want to play Sacramento. Ooh, I want to play this team. Oh, I want to play this team. And it's a constant revolving door for me, because like, I just second guess myself a lot. So for me, I want to know what everybody else's reasonings are behind why they would choose, you know, us playing against Phoenix or us playing against that team, because I want more information. It's not because right now, I'm not a nerd in the NBA, but I want to know what people are thinking when they're breaking down a team saying, well, the Phoenix Suns aren't going to have their center for the first five games, so we want to play against them. I want all this information. I want to know why you guys believe what you do. So I will say this. If you told me I had to make the decision at a gunpoint right now, I would say this, is that I would want to fuck the shit out of the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round. I don't care how we play them.
Okay. I would take it exactly how it's set up right now, personally. Like, we're going to play the Pelicans. I know the Pelicans are tough. Good. I said I'd rather play the Mavericks than the Pelicans. But right now, I take the Pelicans, and, you know, I prefer if Minnesota was the two seed and we could send Denver to the one seed. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with the way that the bracket has split up. But here's the thing. I like your approach too, because I don't really care to have an easy road. Like, I'll take a difficult road, and we'll face off against, over experienced opponent, and we'll earn the respect the hard way. That's fine by me. It's not every day you get a chance to play against someone like LeBron. So let's take it.
Exactly. All eyes are on LA, LeBron. 10,000 points, whatever you want to say. All eyes are there. So for me, it's about just capitalizing.
Wasn't he at 20,000?
Where all the noise is going to be in the first round.
Yeah.
What's that?
Isn't he at like 20,000 points now?
So 40,000.
Oh, 40,000? Yeah, you're right, 40,000.
Yeah.
And he scored 48,000 if you count playoffs. 48,000.
Yeah. So many points. But for me, I look at it like this, is that like, do I want all the hype and all the excitement in the second and third rounds, or do I want to get it off our chest in the beginning? Like, we play against LA, we play against Golden State. In the second round, it's going to be bumping. I would rather play in the first round when it's bumping in the first round and all the hype, and we can get that shit out of our system, and then play in the second round after we've swept the Lakers or beat them in five games, or the same with Golden State, because there's going to be so much hype whoever has to play LA because of the whole idea that this 8 or 7 seed could beat the 2 or 1 seed. You know, like people are ready. It's going to be interesting.
Dude, it's exciting. The game tonight's exciting. Like you said, everybody jumping in the chat and the comments. Blake, I appreciate you saying we're the best. Sometimes I think you overhype us, Blake, but it's okay. We appreciate the love. We appreciate everybody overhyping us. It's fun, man. Like, you guys get us amped up. Obviously, we're just like anybody, so we have ups and downs, and so like knowing we can jump into the comment section and get hyped anytime we want, it's pretty fucking special. You know, there's been a lot of adventures, Dave. We like to talk a little bit about some of the stuff we did, but one of my favorite things you mentioned last time was we went out to Allagash, and after we got back, we got to see an old friend in Maine, and he told us that we were legends.
Oh yeah,
and we thought he was a legend, so that left us all hyped up. And next thing you knew, we were out in Alaska because, you know, that's what legends do, right, Dave?
Well, just to put this in context, Mount Washington, this guy is known for climbing Mount Washington more than anybody else in the history of Mount Washington in the climbing. So we always thought, because the way our grandfather talked about him, that he was the one that taught our grandfather how to be an outdoorsman. But little do we know that our grandfather was actually the one that taught him how to be an outdoorsman. And our grandfather taught us too. So you get that adventurous aspect in your bloodstream, and there's no way you can not go, and no way you can't stop yourself. Because once you've got that desire to get out there and set up a tent in the middle of fucking nowhere, recognizing it's bear country and not giving a fuck, like that's the ultimate. And I've always had this dream that one day I'm going to face a bear and I'm going to tell him who's boss. But until then, you guys are going to have me on the podcast.
Not many bears out in Hawaii though, Dave. It's going to be hard to find those.
Dude, they have mongoose bears, bro. Those things are devils.
Mongoose bears?
I mean, like, well, they're small mongoose. They're not like real mongoose. They're like small ones.
Devils.
Dude, it's not a real thing, man.
All right, dude. Yeah, we should go up, check out some of that, you know, salmon fishing in Alaska. That'll for sure bring the bears out if you do it right.
Yes, dude. Or you know what, man? One of these days, we just got to go to the salmon run in Maine. I heard that's pretty phenomenal. So,
oh yeah, the
we got things to do still in our lives, man. River.
Yeah, landlocked salmon. We got to get up there, dude. Hey, all right, adventures on the way.
Before we go, I want to tell everybody about this dream I've had since living in Hawaii. All right, man. All right. I had this dream I told you about the other day, bro. That I get to like run outside and scream in Hawaii that my team won the championship, right? So knowing that the Oklahoma City Thunder was so far away 3 years ago, I was thinking like maybe this talking about the Yankees, this dream, you know, like I like to think about my dreams as for real someday, right? But this year we're moving back to Hawaii and the Thunder having a legit opportunity to be playing in the championship game just after I moved to Hawaii. It's like, wait a second here. Maybe this is what my whole dream is all about all along, was this Oklahoma City Thunder team being for real. So I'm excited, bro, on every fucking level about this team. But now that I'm moving back and this idea that it could be for real, that I get to go watch the Oklahoma City Thunder win a championship in Hawaii, that's beyond anything I could ever imagine. So here we go, guys.
Yo, put your ass in the canoe, like we say. Let's do it.